on to Everything Allocated by Larry June and The Alchemist featuring Currency.
That's right.
Shout out to Currency. Shout out to all the stoners out there.
Shout out to stoners.
You know what I mean? And PSA for my people, man. It's okay to put the blunt down once in a while, man. Get yourself a cleanse. You can switch to the edibles because word on the street is that the lungs are the one organ that cannot be replaced.
That's what they say. I don't believe it.
But, he doesn't believe it. I don't know if I don't believe it yet.
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it.
I don't buy it. I don't subscribe to it.
However, is there a medical case where the lungs have ever been replaced, a lung replacement? Well, I would say to you, go do the research.
I would say to you, go into your mind and heal it yourself.
Oh, yeah. I never said heal. I said replaced.
That's right. You did
like
say
a
that.
Transplant.
That's right.
I mean?
You did say that.
You could get a heart transplant. You could get someone could donate their kidneys.
That's right.
One kidney. But the lungs have never been done.
Well, not that we know of.
Not that we know of. Exactly. Indeed.
Because they probably doing it on the black market.
Yeah.
They're probably selling lungs on the black market. And guess what? Black people always been the target.
Oof.
That's why they go missing like cartons on the milk cartons. Pardon? Nigga, you could sell your soul. That's not a bargain. Oof. Tell you right now, we here to kit the margin. I don't give a fuck. I like butter, bread, margin. All day long, I'm not starving. Balling like niggas that be balling in Harlem. It's easy. Yo, Al, get at me. I need to go to L.A. to hang by the seaweed. Let them all know we on the beach out in Fiji. I'm cleaning these Alchemist beats with the squeegee. Microphone killer. Hard body, my nigga.
Let's go.
So it's for you, Al.
Yes, sir. Moving on. We went to Feeling off of Alfredo 2 again. Larry June and the Alchemist.
And
moving
Freddie
on.
And
yeah, Freddie. Yeah.
That was the collab.
Yeah, that was the collab, Freddie and Larry June. And
then,
like
right.
you were saying, maybe Alk did put that together and link them.
No
link
doubt.
Them together.
No doubt.
Freddie is from Gary, Indiana.
Yes, he
Larry
is.
June from the Bay.
The Bay.
So, yeah, definitely a connection there. Moving on, we had Ocean Sounds.
Ocean Sounds.
Off of the Larry June and the Alchemist joint album called The Great Escape.
The Great Escape. I got to listen to more of that album.
Yeah, that's a dope name, too. The Great Escape.
And you noticed the last three songs, they were really about the shorties, too.
Yeah, they were, actually. I like the way you put that together.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they were like that.
From the Shinzo.
Yeah, from the Shinzo. What you're hearing now is the instrumental called Tight.
Ooh.
Off of the Rapper's Best Friend instrumental series. It's the first one. He has like six or seven of them now.
He's got six or seven
Of the called of the Rapper's Best Friend. Yeah, just instrumental albums, man.
Yeah, I know we be in the car and we be just freestyling
straight
to that
up.
Shit. Yeah,
straight
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, man. And now, yeah, I'd like to, you know, get back into the interview. Yeah,
yes,
let's
sir.
See what Alk is talking about. Moving on to, you know, what was his experience like as a kid? Because at that time, you're going through high school.
Yeah.
You know, the pressure to go to high school, go to school in general.
Yeah.
He was at an age where he was starting to deal with those things. So, you know, let's see what he has to say and his experience with that.
Let's get it,
man. And maybe you could draw something from his experience as well.
The Boom Bap Syndicate, man. CJSF 90.1 FM.
NYU would endanger his professional momentum, but Al had made crucial connections, specifically meeting Mobb Deep, that would set up his second act.
I did 2 years at NYU. I was doing that little bit of producing for The High and Mighty or The Far Right, Dilated. I was set up in the dorm originally, and we would just be making beats, trying to figure out a sound.
So how did you transition from that to starting to shop beats to artists that were signed to labels?
At the time, my parents were giving me, I think, like $1,000 a month to survive, to live. Like, here, we're going to help you out. And I think at the time I was selling the weed with my roommates, I worked long enough to save 10 months worth of those checks, save like 10 G. I never would spend the check they were giving me. I didn't tell them 2 years later. And it was like, once I had like 10 grand in a bank account, I remember like calling my parents going, yeah, I'm good from here. I'm going to try. And just, I always wanted to push off. Like, I always wanted to feel my own weight. Like, man, it's a blessing in the world to have family that can help and be, you know, financially. That's
of course.
The greatest thing in the world. But then it also made me want to feel what it would be like on my own. I was sat with the advisor who looked at my GPA and was like, all right, you got to pick a major now. I was like, I don't really know what I want to pick, but, you know, I'm doing a lot of music. it's been fairly decent. I have a history before that I did. I showed her everything. I told her what was up. She was like, you know what? If you want to give it a shot and you think you could make it work, you try. And you can always come back after a semester if it's not working. And I was like, cool. And I was like, can you tell my mom and dad that too? I called them. Yeah, and even the advisor said, they were like, I don't know, you're going to stay in New York? I was like, yeah. And then after 2 years, you know, I pushed off, didn't go back to school, and I stayed in New York, got an apartment, and I just like, I'm gonna make it work. The first thing I did was I got a Cypress Hill remix that Muggs hooked up, Tequila Sunrise.
From the fourth album?
Yes, and it had Fat Joe on it. Those years, I was going on tour with Cypress every summer, 97, 98, 99, and I would roll with Muggs and kind of be his assistant, carry records. Whatever they needed me to do, I was there. It was just like, I'm there.
How were you imagining your career sort of playing out over the next few years?
I didn't really know where it was going to go. I just wanted to be a threat. Like, I was now honing my production craft. And I'm not like some of these guys who are like, your first beats are the beats people have heard. I had a lot of time to develop my style. It was eras of me making beats that nobody heard except for probably Evidence, where it was like I was just imitating Premier. I didn't have my sound yet, you know? And it took me a long time to develop what I felt was going to be like something unique, which was basically my expression as a producer. We're working with electronics. We're not robots. There's an immediate fight right there. Some people give in to the fight and just go, let's go, quantize, and just turn into a rap robot. You need to have something that's locked in, all right, but then be free with it and humanize your shit and give it like some type of personality that makes it unique.
Which beats were the ones where you felt like, okay, I have a voice?
I think Keep It Thorough. Once I started working with Mobb Deep, that pretty much changed everything. Like, I can pretty much put my career on a timeline of before Mobb Deep, after Mobb Deep. Mobb Deep was a legendary group who I idolized before I even knew them. Muggs had worked with them on his album and told me, yo, when I worked with them, I met their young guys. They got these guys down with them, Infamous Mob. It's like, they're young guys. You're my young homie. You guys should hook up in New York. So we linked up. And then that led to Infamous Mobb saying, yo, come to the studio. We got to introduce you to Havin P. They had just started Murder Music, the album.
Yeah.
So I know where they're at now, the studio. I'm down with Infamous Mobb. All right, cool. Now I would like always come there. P would not be there. Havin would be there. And then Havin would be there, and they'd be like, play me some shit. And I had this one dat, played him a bunch of beats, and then he would be like, I like this one beat. So I would come back 2 days later or 3 days later, and then P would be there. And then I would play that same dat for P, and he'd be like, skim through. I like this one beat. It was the same beat that Have liked. It was the realest. You know, a month or so later was when P called me and said, yo, bring that beat through, son. Walk in the room, and then G-Rap is just sitting there. You know, and I was just like, whoa. You know, it's like, of course, we grew up off of cool G-Rap. And P was like, yo, you know that beat? We want to use that shit for G-Rap. Now, in retrospect, I think, like, if I had a manager at the time and was like, cool, wait a minute, and was like, let me call my manager, and that shit might not have happened. I was so excited that I just told the engineer, like, where's the engineer at? Like, plug me up.
And so I just no conversation about money
beat,
or anything.
Nothing. This was the greatest opportunity. He just told me, put the beat up for us with Cool G Rap. I was like, crazy? Track the beat instantly. That's how that relationship started with Mobb Deep. And then that's why I feel like Keep It Thorough was a big record, because it proved I wasn't a fluke.
I do doubt myself, and it sucks, but sometimes you gotta check yourself, and that can be confused as doubt. Checking yourself is good. Don't doubt yourself.
So once you get those, the Mobb and then the Prodigy records out, your name starts to really ring off in terms, you know, in a larger way in hip hop. What was the process like of trying to sell beats back in 99, 2000, 2001?
You had to be physically out there. Like, there was no email. You know, staying home and making beats was like the one part of it, but straight up running up in the studio, making my own phone calls. I didn't have a manager at the time, and it was like, so I would make relationships. As a producer, the ones I looked up to coming up
they all produced whole albums first. I think I was one of those guys came in that next generation of producers who was kind of like a nomad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I need to be on as many albums as possible. And I need a name tag, Alchemist. Like, that was all intentional. You know, it was like, I want to be known. I want people to know I made this beat. As producers, we were like salesmen. I got a new batch. All right, cool. I got to hit up everybody this week because I'm trying to start a bidding war, because it was all about who's cutting that first half and when. Like, you want the beat? Cut the first half, because I'm about to go to see Puff. Puff likes that joint. He's working on whatever. All the producers, we stayed on our toes because of this, because we were able to hear what everybody else was doing, to hear your competition, to see what, you know, Rockwilder's doing. Like, he used to kick my ass every time I'd see him, and he'd play some beats, and like, he's here? Like, we'd walk in and be like, nah, I'm gonna come back another day, man. This ain't fair, you know? He's too good. We really respect each other. I remember some rough nights trying to play beats and it's just not hitting. Or it would just send you home and, you know, make you work harder. As an artist, it's always hard to take criticism. It's like a nasty pill to swallow. It's bitter. It's like, fuck you, man. What? It's cool to feel that way at first, but I think criticism is important. As long as it's people that you can trust, that it's a non-biased, genuine opinion.
How are you negotiating things like your rate? I imagine it's changing as you're getting more and more placements.
In the early days, it was all about an advance. That's all I cared about. All
getting the front half.
The beginning was just getting your money. I didn't even know about publishing or any of that shit, honestly. And I think that's a blessing. Because had I known about all that shit early, probably wouldn't have did so many beats that ended up becoming great beats. Because I might have been like, wait a minute, what's my split on the publishing? How much are they taking on the sample? Oh, hell no. You know what I mean? My innocence and just wanting to be dope and be on these albums. Yeah, it hurt my pockets a little bit probably, but I wouldn't take it back for a million years because I have my discography. I got to a certain point where it was like, okay, what's my future? What am I going to do now? Now I'm here. Okay, people know me, did some cool beats. And that's when I went back to my old thought of, damn, all the people I looked up to made whole albums. I got to make an album. And that's when it was my goal, when I did First Infantry.
How did that change when you went from being a behind-the-scenes person to then being the front-facing?
It wasn't a plan in that aspect. It was a goal to produce an album in its entirety, and I didn't have anyone else who was like, yo, we want you to do this whole album. I was like, well, fuck it, I'll produce my own album. As a producer, it's always been a tricky thing. Like, how do you sell a producer as an artist? But over the years, like, I would always write every now and then. Like, I always think of raps when I'm making a beat. Like, it's the same way I'm imagining a bass line or a drum. I'm imagining rap always, you know? Like, Hold You Down was a loose record we made at the crib. I wasn't making it for my album, but then when it was time to work on the album, I had that. And there was like, this is catchy and it's me and all right, fuck it, I'll rap on it. Or I was already on it. I'm saying, well, do make it the single, because then for Kachi, it was like an opportunity to promote me as an artist. It would normally be harder if you're a producer on an album, you know, otherwise, like, what are you going to do? Stand behind a rapper? Yo, 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 this is my shit. This is just me rapping. And it was kind of awkward because some people thought I was a rapper at first. But it took, and it worked. And Prodigy was on the first verse. He was as hot as fish grease at the time. And Nina Sky was just blowing up.
Was the market informing your artistic decisions at all?
I never felt pressure from the music industry to make something that was relevant. It was a great time because the people I was down with, the Lox, Mobb Deep, these are the biggest guys in New York. You know, Mobb always had commercial success being hardcore. That's how we pulled off Got It Twisted. We go to the meeting at Jive, and Pete picked me up and said, come with me to the meeting, man. I felt kind of weird about it. I'm like, it's y'all album. Should I really come with you? He's like, yeah, man, we're going to listen to the whole album with the owners of Jive. We're going to pick the singles. So we get to the meeting, Barry Weiss, Chris Lighty, all of us, we all sit down in this room. Chris Lighty goes, all right, hold on. Before we start, I want to bring in Who Kid. Who Kid is the ear of the streets, and I really respect his opinion, so we want to hear what he has to say. At first, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Why is Who Kid in here? You know what I mean? Yeah. What's going on here? So, cool. Play the whole album, every song. Have the most of them, boom, and listen to everything. All right, singles, let's go back. They went straight to the Kanye joint and my joint. Straight to it.
Let's just reevaluate though. We played the Kanye West joint. Barry White's school, crazy bangers. And he said, my son loves Kanye West. Then we played Got It Twisted again, right? Everyone's listening to it. And then Cool Kids stepped out of nowhere and was like, are you guys serious? This is a no-brainer. Are we really deciding? He said, one sounds like Saturday afternoon. The other one sounds like you're getting stabbed in a club. This is Mobb Deep. He's, and everybody, and that was it. And I swear after that, I hugged that motherfucker. I was like, yeah, you're the best, man. Like, I was like, he was just being genuine.
You mentioned We Gonna Make It. And I know that that was somewhat controversial record when it came out. What happened?
We Gonna Make It, the way that happened was this dude, Ray Ray, I think, I forget, he worked at Priority. They bought a bunch of beats from off of me, like a three-package deal. And I tracked a bunch of beats, never heard back from them. And so later on, when that type of thing would happen back then, I was like, yeah, I'm using that beat for something else. And people don't even know. I tracked that beat for Nas. After that, when Nas was doing the 41st album, he picked that beat and I tracked it to a 2-inch tape for him. It was going to be his solo song. And then he left town, came back, and they're like, nah, he didn't do it. Nashawn is going to use it or something. And I was like, ah. And I took it back. I also played We Gonna Make It for Jay-Z in person.
That could have been a Nas record. It could have been a Jay-Z.
Could have been a Nas record. Could have been a Jay record. Very close, yes.
So Kiss gets the beat, makes the song, and then were you completely surprised when Razzcast comes out of the woodwork?
I don't remember how it went. It was kind of like, oh, man, you know, kind of a letdown of how it all unfolded. But Kiss record was so big, and when you look back in history, it was meant to be. Yeah, I'll never forget the day Kiss laid the verse. I was over there. I went up to Yonkers. And the first line, it was already like, holy shit.
So in 2007, you did what would become the first of a series of collaborative albums that you've continued to do to this day. How did you end up deciding you and Prodigy were going to work on The Return of the Mac together?
He used to damn near live with me at that time. Like, he would come through every day, stay late, and leave powdered white donut wrappers everywhere and just, like, leave a mess and write rhymes, and we would watch YouTube stuff for hours. He used to record stuff off of YouTube with his VHS camera because he's like, some of this info is going to go away. Like, P was insane. We did a couple songs and it started going good, and that was the first time that I noticed P trusted me all the way. Like, being able to do that whole project and have P meant a lot to me at the time. It was just going to be a mixtape. And then it was just like, we got to put this out for real. I wasn't on my A game yet as far as putting together albums the way I think I am now.
Did it change how you thought about production or making music?
Yeah, there's sections of a song, right? And you put in your magnifying glass and you make each section special, right? An album is a big song, and there's moments everywhere throughout that album, just like there's moments in a song. I started looking at it like that. Like, all right, if I could keep a song interesting, then I gotta be able to keep an album interesting and treat it like one big fucking song. Producing is kind of like psychology more than technology. It's like a lot of it is like knowing how to communicate with an artist in order to get the best version of them out of them. You know, you're not going to draw blood from a rock. You can't come in there and force somebody to do something. That's never been my technique. I want them to stay in their confident bag. I don't want them to start losing their confidence. I may be like, yo, listen to this last take. We did a couple of takes ago. See that part? I love that part. Man, see the tone you had there? That's what we're trying to get.
Around that time, also, the whole music industry starts to change.
Yeah.
How were you thinking about that as this is very beginning of streaming? And
I was, like, skeptical about it all. The music industry kind of burnt me out after, like, my run of doing Hold You Down and then having success as an artist and then coming back years later with my follow-up album and trying to do it bigger and making all these fucking mistakes that I'm like, damn, I wish I could have done it differently. You know
what do you mean?
Like, I think every artist has their version of this if they make it through the storm. First album came out, had success, didn't expect it. Then I arrived. Mobb is on top. I'm here. I'm an artist now. Like, I'm fine. So many things happening. I took 2-3 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was way too long. And at that point, the sound was starting to change and things were getting bigger. And I tried to compete thinking of my first album, like, I gotta go up. All right, so now I gotta get Twista and Maxwell on this joint, and I'm gonna rhyme on it. At one point, you know, Jim was hot, and I was on Koch Jones, mm-hmm. and they got me a Jim Jones verse for, like, some crazy amount of money, and I was convinced that this was gonna be the answer to my career, and I made four versions of the Jim Jones verse. I got Nina Sky back on it. I did so much. I ended up not using the song at all. And when I listened back to that album or that moment in my career, I hate it.
Efforts to top his solo debut fell flat, but the creative frustration of that moment would provoke an important move. Back home in LA, Alchemist established a studio and an open door policy. Al's workspace would become a hub for a generation of talent, including Action Bronson, Currency, Vince Staples, and many others. But in addition to finding inspiration musically, Al would also find inspiration as an entrepreneur, prompting him to radically reinvent
boom,
his
boom,
business.
Boom, boom, boom. Yes, sir. The Alchemist spreading that knowledge on his journey. It's amazing, man.
Flying through the galaxy.
Yeah.
Pumping that... Yeah, flying through the galaxy with Al in the co-pilot. Nigga, see, I got no mileage. Dropping off the stylus. I don't need that. Got my own style, kid. Like a Shaolin. This the Xingzo. Let him know what happened to the instrumental.
It's just reloading. Reloaded. Yo, I said I'm steady reloaded. Yo, you rappers is so childish. Yo, it's like they already know this. Yo, they already know this. I spit that hot flow shit. They already know shit.
What?
Yeah, that already flow shit. I'm so wavy. I'm like the motherfucking ocean.
Wavy like the ocean. I'ma need me a surfboard. What you talking about, boy? You get burnt more if you don't wear the protection. That's right, God. I'm older than the presidential election.
The police be trying to fucking pat me. Catch me spitting beats down in Blood Alley. Ooh. Out in Gastown, yeah, the bars are without borders.
Word?
You see, I got big muscle on my fucking shoulders.
From commercial all the way to Balaclava. From Surrey to the Bahamas, spit hot lava. All you rappers just prima donnas. Trying to disrespect King Waj, your ass will get conquered.
Yeah, your ass will get conquered like motherfucking Genghis Khan. And I'm the best up in the spaceship. I'm like a fucking alien. It's like, I'm like Rock Marciano. I spit it so hot, only God and I know. When I say God, I'm talking about the flow I know. It's so godly, I'm take you to heaven. Me and Hard Body Dreams, yo, we like the number 7.
That's right, the number 7, boy. We lucky.
Yeah.
Get money.
You heard it here first. Explicit, uncut, unfiltered, raw. Boom. BAP Syndicate, CJSF 90.1 FM. Let's go, man.
Let's get into the next, man. Play the music, man. Don't even tell them what's coming up next. Just play it, man.
Let's go.
Parked outside my street again. Yeah, all black whips, I'm each to fleet again. Yeah, get off that dog and serve that C again. Wrapping it up, stacking it up. If I see buddy, I'm tapping them up. I'ma go shoot at that bitch if that nigga survive. One day we could patch it up. Yeah, yeah. Shit, I'm lying, ain't giving no passes up. Fuck around, throw a grenade and blow your casket up. Don't gas him up.
Don't fuck with me, but you wanna fuck with a nigga, man.
Ice cold, but still highly flammable. Dip his ass in acid, it burn like pussy, no prophylactic. Took the summer off to fuck all the baddies with plastic asses. Niggas be writing checks with they mouth, but one day they gas to cash it. Call them out, it wants the shit bounced, and I'm pissing on their ashes. No look past the hole like I'm magic, behind the back like Patrick. Walked away from multiple crashes, but it ain't wrecked my status. Yeah, you take two hoes about my house tonight. Fucked on both of them bitches like they was my spouse tonight. Gave that bitch that rabbit ice, she was rocking them mouse and ice. Never fuck with a bitch that ain't got her taxes, credit and housing right. She bound to bust that pussy, rush that pussy for 1,000 likes. This ass pussy in your mouth tonight. Yeah, bitch, she serving 3 hoes. Running through a whole friend group, fucking 3 amigos. Man, I mean amigas.
born and raised. Stussy Levi's, rocking Nike Spontos. Got that from my vatos. I'm riding in the demon on Lincoln, I'm dodging potholes. Feds hit my shit, they ain't getting shit. Mar-a-Lago, cause we the men. Like my nigga Bunk, I'm the B-O-N, D-O-N. Federal agents parked outside my street again. Yeah, all black whips, I meet the fleet again. Yeah, get off that dog and sir, that C again.
We gotta get rid of this thing.
Get off that dog. Check.
I try to be a good motherfucking nigga, but I can't be, cause little bitch ass niggas like you wanna fuck with me. You wanna fuck with a nigga, right? You want a nigga who got two stripes on him to go to jail for life, motherfucker. That's what you want.
Get up, please.
Fuck no.
What's up, bro? What we doing?
これからお前たちに重要な情報を与えよう。
I spend a whole lot of time alone. I spend money when I want, cause I work for it. But it first start with a goal. It's complicated, but I still roll. Niggas hate, I can't respect it, but I'm knowing that's just how it go. I done multiply vintage gold. Quick meeting in the vintage rolls. I take notes, I don't take nothing personal. Quick flight to NO just to fuck with bro. I'm so occupied, money high, overhead low. Old school engine powder coated, so clean that you gotta notice. I'm in a whole different time zone. This shit art like Picasso. This shit art like JB. I'm in the drop with the AC. Seven figure checks got me thinking like AEs.
Cause a lot of hate, it come disguised as help. Fuck around and die, cause the company you kept couldn't fight the jealous inside that he felt. So he crept on his own kind, genocide from your own side. All cause they felt like you was getting too much shine. All cause he felt like he was standing back of the line. In the back of his mind, when you really want to see him come up at the same time. Niggas be angry and blind, misdirect the energy when they really could've tried. But they too pussy to ever push the line. They'd rather sit inside, they'd rather bitch and cry. Like a victim of circumstance, meanwhile I, product of mind fire, taught me to survive. Adapt to change the climates, car and driver, plane and pilot. High quiet, sharp and stylish, totally wireless. Smoke my way out of this.
Sometimes I feel so low, but I'm never gonna stop. Cause it's all I know.
Cause it's all I know.
Long drive,
drink.